But we do need to know how God speaks to us because it's so important. It's so important because here's the difference between someone who knows how God speaks to them and someone who doesn't. You got this person over here who doesn't know how God speaks to them. They're going to listen to anything and everything because if it looks supernatural or if it looks coincidental, must be God. And even if it is God, they must be saying, well, I think God's trying to tell me something through this. But when you know already off the bat the privileges you have in Christ and that because you're in Christ, God will never speak to you through this. Because you're in Christ, God will never speak to you through that. Because you've been made righteous, God will never speak to you like this. And you know how to judge the voice of God. And all this is the difference between people that are out there thinking things that are just flaky stuff, teaching wrong stuff, thinking wrong stuff, and people that are secure in Jesus and actually know the truth. Is the way that we hear, or who we hear. What you're listening to affects what your mentality is. Just so you know, your mentality today is a reflection of who you've listened to up until this point. And guess what? If you're saying, well, I don't like that very much, well, then listen to Jesus, and Jesus can take your mindset. If you say, well, I haven't listened to Jesus very much. I never really taught that very much, so of course I haven't really done this. Jesus can take your mind from wherever it is, and in 2 seconds, God can start, pow, just changing your thinking. It's not a big deal. The water of the word is able to cleanse your mind. God's already qualified you for that. So I'm not saying you can start listening to Jesus right now in your seat. It's you don't have to wait till you get home. Say, okay, Lord, I'm just giving my attention to you right now. God can start changing your thinking. But when we do know, though, how God speaks to us, what that does is it gets you in tune with the right person. And therefore, you can have a right mentality because you're listening to the right stuff. If you think, oh, God can just speak to me in all these different ways, then you're listening to all these different things. And only one of them is God. So you listen to all this stuff, and guess what's going to happen to your mentality? It's going to go down the gutter. Because you're listening to all these things. Listening is like taking thoughts into your mind. Listening is allowing someone to influence the way that you think. And if you think all this stuff is God, and you're listening to all this stuff, or wondering, would God really say that to me? I'm not really sure. Because maybe you've even been taught contrary, right? You've been taught this. This is from Scripture. God's revealed this to you, and He showed you from Scripture. This is the Word of God to you. And then something happens in your life. Would God really speak to me that way? Would God? And you start questioning and unraveling slowly everything that you learn because you're listening to the wrong thing. You have to know how God will speak to you. Otherwise, like I said, you'll find yourself listening to the wrong person. Let's go to John 16 real quick. John chapter 16. And you know, there are more verses to this though. So I will say I'm not giving you the full spectrum of the content I could give you on this. But I'm going to kind of, obviously, we can't do like everything at one shot. So I'm just going to kind of major on one thing right now, and then we'll see where we go, okay? But John 16:25, it says, "These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will speak to you plainly about the Father." King James says, "I won't speak to you in parables anymore." He said, "But I'll speak to you plainly from the Father." Now, this is also one of the ways that you can see how God will speak to you and how God will not speak to you. Even look at this. The time is coming when I will, look at this. I will no longer speak to you in figurative language. Look at that. Jesus saying this. Now, he's prophesying about when we would receive the Holy Spirit. All right. It's very important that you know this because obviously before Jesus came and after Jesus came, it's totally different. After Jesus came now we can actually receive inside of us the inheritance that God's always wanted us to have. And this is a prophecy about that time. If you read the whole chapter and the chapters before, he's talking about, I'm going to send you my Spirit, and he'll be your comforter, and I won't leave you without comfort, but I will come to you. He's talking about sending his Spirit this whole time. And then he gets to this verse and says that in the past, he has spoken to his disciples in figurative language, or rather in a parable. What this is talking about is Jesus would talk to his disciples even, and many people. He would talk to the people in parables where he would hide the meaning of things, right? And he would speak to them that way. And that's the way that he would communicate to people. Now, his disciples, he often took to the side. Then he would explain those parables, but he still would speak to people in parables. But for those that have the Holy Spirit, this when it says the time is coming, he's talking about when you have the Holy Spirit. So you can say this, but when you have the Holy Spirit though, then I'll no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I'll tell you plainly. You know that God will not speak to you in a symbol. Now, this is really important. Do you know that you can... The applications are really endless with this. God, this says God will not speak to you in a symbol. God will not speak to you in a parable. God will not speak to you. This is figurative language, but better said, parable. Better said, something that is obscure. God won't speak to you in these, like, because if you see something, right, even whether it's outside of you or you think something or whatever, and it comes in like this really obscure, symbolic, really supernatural, weird kind of thing. Do you know that you can't say that that's God trying to get something across to you? Oh, because God spoke to me this way, and this situation lined up with this situation, and it's like all symbolic. I'm going to get to more information so that you understand this fully. But God speaks to you in truth. God, for a born-again believer, doesn't speak to you through symbols and through omens and through... God doesn't speak to you like that. First of all, it's important to know that because you have Jesus inside of you, when God does speak to you, he speaks straight to your mind. So we've said this in the past. I feel like there's so much material right now to talk about, and I'm only hitting one spot. So just stay with me on this whole thing, because I got to try to bring us up to speed also, along with teaching something new here. So God does speak to us from inside of us to your brain. That's how God always talks to you. People say, no, but God can talk to you in an audible voice. No, he can't. Because here's the thing. God is not trying to communicate to you through an audible voice. If God spoke with an audible voice, he's not trying to speak to you that way. God can use an audible voice to confirm something that he gave you understanding about. Just like he can confirm things to you by different ways, and I'll go into that in a second. But there's one way that God speaks to you, and that is into your inner man, into your mind. The only way God will ever speak to you is that from his spirit into your inner man. That's the only way God will speak to you. And you know what? I'm going to get back to this verse because this verse is very important, but I do want to just give you two verses right now, okay? So there's two verses I want to just give you very quickly. The first one is 2 Corinthians, and also, let me see, Ephesians 3. If you read Ephesians 3, this, and you know, you may not have to go here, we'll see. But in Ephesians 3, he talks about how God will give you knowledge. And it doesn't say that he gives you knowledge and teaches you outside of you. It says this, expressly says this. It said that God will give you knowledge this way, by his spirit in your inner man. Those words are something that God spoke to me a while ago, and obviously they're scriptural. This is why it's important that you take this, okay? Not because I'm saying it. You need to take this because it's in scripture. That, and scripture is our proof, all right? It's a way of proving something, testing something. You know, you prove it that way. And watch this. So in proof, God said, in proof, in scripture, he said that God will only give you knowledge this way, by his spirit in your inner man. That is said in scripture. And that is so important to understand. By his spirit in your inner man. By his spirit in your inner man. Do you know that even, we've said in the past, that I taught a message recently, well, can God speak to you through somebody else? I said this, right? Just recently. I was answering the question, well, okay, we've been saying recently that God's inside of you, and he will only speak to you into your mind, into your inner man, right? And so I answered a question recently. Can God speak to you through somebody else? And I said yes. But just to clarify something with that message, I didn't say that God doesn't speak to you in your inner man still. He still does speak to you in your inner man. Even if I'm up here preaching, right, in the Holy Spirit in me, let's say somebody comes in here who's not even saved. They can't listen to the Holy Spirit inside of them. They don't even have the Holy Spirit. But God still speaks to people in their inner man. Even if it's for my sake, because I'm teaching, and the Holy Spirit works through me to get across to someone who's not saved, he still speaks to you by his spirit into your inner man. Whether it's through the aid of the Holy Spirit in somebody else, or whether it's just straight from the Holy Spirit in you, which is how you need to live, listening to the Holy Spirit inside of you, regardless, it's still by his spirit in the inner man. Paul prayed this for other people in Ephesians 3. He said, I pray that God will speak to you or give you knowledge by his spirit into your inner man. And so whether that meant that God was working solely off of for Paul's sake because Paul prayed that for those people, or whether those people were actually listening to Jesus for themselves and they're receiving straight from God, he still speaks to you by his spirit in the inner man. So please don't take even the message I taught recently and think that that contradicts what I'm saying now. Well, Pastor Mike, you said God only speaks to you from on the inside of you into your inner man. Well, I didn't say that. God always speaks to you by his spirit in your inner man. He is inside of you. That's where you need to listen. But many times, God will aid you through somebody else, by his spirit in somebody else. Just like you can come up here and get prayer for healing, that can be an aid to you, but you can't live off of it. It's the same way you can come in here and get good revelation, but you can't live off that. You'll lose that if you're depending on me. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit inside of you. But God can, this is the point I want to make though. It's not unclear or unpredictable how God speaks to us as born again believers. Ephesians chapter 3, always by the Holy Spirit, not from creation, not from Pastor so-and-so, not from anything except by his Holy Spirit, into your mind, your inner man. That's it. Is that predictable or unpredictable? It's very predictable. God tells you exactly the rights you have in Christ. God's not wondering, like, I wonder what privileges Brother Stephen has in Christ. Like, I wonder today, like, who is even Brother Stephen? Who did I make him? Like, he's not wondering. He knows you have this privilege and this and this and this. Then this is the stuff that you don't have because I took that away from you. Sin, death, and the like. So these are things you don't have. These are things you do. God knows everything, right? God's not unclear about it. So God is not unclear about what are your rights in Christ. Well, this is where we're getting into this. So it's good we didn't leave this verse. I just wanted to clarify that first about the Holy Spirit. God knows exactly what you have in Christ, so he can tell you. He's very predictable because, and you are predictable also. We are the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible explains that to us, that we are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know why? Because the Bible says that Christ, Jesus, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know what you're going to be tomorrow, next day, the next day. Okay? It's everything is very predictable when the Lord does something. Now watch this though. Because we just said, God will only speak to you into your mind. That he doesn't speak to you outside of your ears and speak to your ears to try and get in. He's already in. He just goes, pow, puts the light of the knowledge of the glory of God inside of your mind. That's the next verse I was going to give you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Very expressly again. Very expressly. I just gave you Ephesians 3, right? But very, very clearly, if 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, how does God give you the knowledge of himself? How does God give you the knowledge of himself? It says he has shown in our hearts to give the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. All in all, what that's saying is God will give you the knowledge of himself and teach you who Christ is so that you can know who you are, all that good stuff. But it says he shines it into your mind. Just the way that it says, just the same God who said, let there be light, and light was. I'm just paraphrasing. The same God that said that is the same God who has shown into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where does he shine his knowledge? Straight to your mind. And who's doing it? God's doing it. Straight to your mind. You know how God will speak to you. And you know what this does? You know what I said before, right? It causes you to do this. You become very inflexible. Very inflexible. Most people bend the first sign of any sign. The first sign of anything weird looking outside of them. The first time any calamity happens that happened in some weird way or happened coincidentally or happened to just line up with something else, they bend. You know why? Because they don't know where God's talking to them from. They don't know how God talks to them. They just think, well, God could talk to me through that. That's not your rights in Jesus Christ. God will always speak to you this way, through understanding. He will never speak to you in obscurity. He will never trick you, and he will never speak to you in some, I don't know if this is the right word, but in some, form. In some kind of form or symbol. No, Jesus is the truth to you now that you're a believer. When God speaks to you, he's straightforward all the time. If it's not straightforward in understanding, it wasn't God that spoke to you. God will speak to you into your mind, straightforward, and that's it. From here to here, or obviously even with the aid of somebody else, but regardless, into your inner man, always plainly. Look at this. I will no longer speak to you in figurative language or in a parable. I will tell you plainly about the Father. God, even in that verse I just gave you in 2 Corinthians, it said that God has shown in our hearts to give the light. You know what light means in that context? In this specific context, what it's talking about is truth. God will speak to you in truth, plainly, making it manifest to your eyes. I don't want to lose anybody here, right? So you got to just kind of shift into the next gear with me here because I'm going to go on to something else right now. Because now that we know this, I just want to show you something with this, right? So just kind of, okay, I'm in the mode now, I'm listening. God spoke to people under the law who were not righteous, who had no new covenant, and no atonement through Jesus, God was able to speak to people under the law in a symbol, in a hidden knowledge. In other words, God is able to speak to a sinner in hidden knowledge because he's not revealing the truth to them. People, and this is why I said you got to just stay with me on this. Truth is something, what Jesus is talking about here, speaking plainly. God revealing the truth to you is a right that you have. God can't just speak the truth to anybody in the world. You realize that, right? If there's someone in the world that doesn't know Jesus yet, God can't speak to them. God can't reveal the truth to them, better said. God can't do that. Once you're righteous and holy, because we are now in Jesus, now that gives you the right to receive the word of God and to know the truth and not to see things in a confused manner, not to see things in like a mucky, foggy kind of light. No, to see things in a perfect light. Now you have the right to see the truth because God's made you holy. If you're a sinner in the world, you can't know the things of God. And as I've said in the past, you might be like, hold on, Pastor Mike, you're talking about if someone's a sinner. So let's just say we have family members right now, right? And sinner doesn't mean they're not loved by God. It just means that they haven't received from Jesus. Let's just say you have a family member, right? And they're not saved. Okay, so you have a family member that's not saved. You realize, right, that God can't speak to them just to get them saved. You know why? You have to be holy first, and then you can receive the truth. It's not the other way around. God can't witness this, and you follow me with this. God can't speak to someone who's not saved to get them saved. God can't just share with them personally on a one-to-one basis and just say, hey, so-and-so, this is how you receive salvation. You need to put faith in. He can't explain anything to them. They are cut off from the life of God, the Bible says. They are alienated from the work of God because of the ignorance that's in them. Now watch this. God can do nothing in their life, nothing for them or on their behalf. They're cut off because Jesus is the only way, right? And they haven't received him. So how do people ever get saved then? I'm just going to go through this real quick. How do they ever even get saved then? This is why God needs people who know the truth. Because God will use someone who knows the truth, bring you over to an unsaved person, and please, only by the Holy Spirit, right? He will bring you by the Holy Spirit and speak through you to someone who's not saved. And God in you, because you have the privileges of truth, because you have holiness, and you are entitled for the truth, he'll work in their mind to get them saved off of your rights. Okay? This is why I said I don't want to lose anybody. So I hope, just go ahead and say, I'm still with you, Pastor Mike. Even if you're not, just do it, okay? All right, we're moving on. That's awesome. Okay, if you're not, then listen to it. But I think we're getting it, right? So God will work through you because, remember, truth is not a frivolous thing that God just gave you. Like, oh, yeah, I'll speak to you. No. You cannot know the things of God unless you're qualified for it. This is why Jesus, in his earthly ministry, there were things that he didn't know. You say, well, I thought Jesus was perfectly holy. But in his earthly ministry, he limited himself for many reasons to be likened unto us. In many ways, the Bible even says that he stepped down lower even than the angels to walk like a man walks, right? And God worked through him, and I understand that. That doesn't mean Jesus wasn't holy. I'm just saying that he limited himself. And even in his knowledge, the Bible says that Jesus had to grow in wisdom. And even after he grew in wisdom, there were still things he didn't know. He told people, he said, no one knows those things. He talks about end times in the gospel. He said, no one knows those things except the Father. He included himself. He said, even the Son of Man doesn't know these things. And the angels of God don't know. Only the Father knows it. But you know, all the way in Revelation, once Jesus was returned to his full stature, you could say, okay, because he is holy, because he's righteous, the Bible says this. You ever read this in Revelation when people are trying to get flaky, trying to teach you weird stuff from Revelation? They might have read this verse to you. Worthy is the Lamb to open the seals and to see the things that are written in the scroll. Right? That's what he did. It says, worthy is the Lamb who is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb to break the seals. You know what that's talking about? That Jesus is worthy to understand the truth now. He honestly, at the cross, he didn't have that. And in his earthly ministry, he didn't have that. After his resurrection, based off his sacrifice he made, for himself and us. I know, that's like it steps on religious toes like crazy. But it's true. The Bible says it in Hebrews, like all over the place. For himself and everybody else. Remember, Jesus was carrying sin too. He needed an atonement just as much as you did. What? Step on more toes. I'm not trying to. I'm just saying that that's what it does. I can almost feel it like in the back of my mind somewhere. Someone's like I don't know. Anyway, I just picture somebody like going, getting shocked. Yes, right? So, but regardless of any of that, we're not going into that. That's a whole nother message. But when Jesus, after that atonement he made for himself and us, but for himself, the worthiness that he had now he's apart from sin now, he's now able to know the truth, just like we are now. This is why God can't speak plainly to people in the world. It's a right. I'm teaching you right now, and obviously I hope that this is not myself, but I pray that you're listening to the Holy Spirit to get this, right? But what I'm talking about right now is that God gave you a right called truth. It's a right. It's not a frivolous gift that God gave you. He had to make you holy first, and then truth can come down. Any old person, God can present a symbol to them. God can come to somebody in a symbol. God can come to somebody in some form. You know that there was Nebuchadnezzar, who was a heathen king, and God gave him a dream, and it was symbolic. God can do that for anybody, because he didn't reveal the truth to him. You understand? Truth is what is only for the righteous. So if he's going to do something to Nebuchadnezzar, I'm just using my words carefully just for right now. Because, you know, especially with certain things, if you don't have a knowledge of a certain word, how it should be used, and just don't use it. But God came to Nebuchadnezzar in a dream and gave him this symbol. But Daniel had the interpretation. Truth is a gift from God. Once you have the Holy Spirit, now I can speak to you plainly now. Plainly from the Father. Jesus, the way and the truth, not the way and the symbol. He's the way and not the form. He's the truth. Truth means it's plain, it's open, it's manifest. You understand it. It's understandable. God makes it manifest to you. He shines into your heart not to give the form or the symbol. This is why if you have a dream and it's symbolic, don't ever think God's trying to get something across to you. Why would God ever give you a dream then? Will God give you a dream as a believer? Yes. Will God ever even do a sign or a wonder in your life as a believer? Of course. Yes. So why would God even do that if God will never speak to you through these things? God will confirm, this is the part of the message I'm not going into right now. I've explained this in the past. There's nothing wrong with something being a confirmation of something that God has or will give you understanding about. But please don't mistake the voice of God for a symbol. I will not speak to you in parable or in figurative language. If you see something, that's not God speaking to you. God speaks to you from here, if you're listening to him here, to your inner man, plainly. Truth is a gift from God. It's a privilege, and it's not something that you need to work toward. It's given to you already. You don't work up the truth or work up smarts. No person in this room is smarter than another. No person in this room. If Jesus didn't come for us, we'd all be like animals. You understand that, right? The earth is only as good as it is because of the teaching of Christ that's present on the earth. You don't even want to know what it's like to take the knowledge of Jesus completely out of the earth. The Bible says it. I'm not making that. It says like brute beasts. That's what people's mindsets become like. Even Nebuchadnezzar himself, when God withdrew his glory and his help from Nebuchadnezzar, and I can explain that if you want to know why God was able to help a heathen king. It was for judgment against Israel, actually. So it wasn't for help to Nebuchadnezzar, it was for judgment against Israel. But regardless, when God withdrew his help from Nebuchadnezzar, what he became like an animal. Just so you know, we ain't smart because we're smart, but you have the wisdom of God now. And I'm not trying to call you ignorant. You have the mind of Christ now. You are the furthest thing away. You are the mind that God has now. But it's not because we conjured up some great smarts of our own. The Bible says that the Father is the only wise. The only wise. But we have his wisdom now. This is why if you're a believer, you have wisdom. But it's God's wisdom. It's not because somebody got smarter. No, it's that we're just able to use God's wisdom. As we listen to Jesus, it utilizes the wisdom of God in you. And now your mind's not even working anymore. You got rest for your soul now. Rest for your thoughts. God's just working in your heart now. The thoughts of God. Accurate and pure and the way that things should be. All the time. Why? Because you just listen. You don't got to worry about changing your thoughts. You listen and the thoughts of God come up into your head. And how will God do that? If you're listening to the Lord, that's how it happens, right? We've been talking about you just acknowledge Jesus and give him your attention. That's how you listen in your heart, right? Give him your attention. Please don't try to know the truth, right? Don't think so much of yourself. Don't think so much of yourself. Just think a lot about what your privileges in Christ, right? And that means if you listen, truth is yours because you're righteous, because you're holy. And I could go to a lot of verses. like John 3 right now and Joshua and all that stuff, but for the sake of time right now, plainly, always plain. You know, the Bible prophet, let me bring it here, Joel chapter 2. This is important that I point this out, because I don't want you to think that dreams and visions and stuff is from the devil. God will give you a dream, okay? God will totally give you a dream. He can give you a vision. God can work something out. Even recently, I had this vision, if you want to call it that way. I don't mean vision like I was caught in a trance. I just mean like in my heart, like I saw this. Because when you're listening to Jesus, your mind's under the influence now. So it's like God can just, everything that's pure and beautiful and everything that's true, just floating around in your head. You may not even feel it at first, but trust me, believe the scriptures rather than just believe your own opinion. When you're listening to the Lord, that's what's going on. Now, I saw the Lord like this, right? And this is a good example for right now. I saw the Lord with a hole in his hand here, and my head even turned. Because I saw his hand, and it was bleeding, right? Like there was blood from his hand here. From, you know, a hole right in the palm of his hand, and a hole over here, and my head turned the other way when he showed me this hand. And he went like this to me, right? Now, this is a great example for us to learn from, okay? He went like this to my ears, and put his blood in my ears. And it went like this. And I don't know this next part, but this, from his nostrils, came this like wavy, like sound waves. And I saw, like, you know when everything's blurry, like if you see like radiation, it gets blurry? Like that, from his nostrils, after he put blood in my ears. Now I understood, because of what the Lord's told me, that what he was, you know, intending to do, I didn't know, you know, obviously the nostril thing, I don't understand that quite yet. But I know that even when I'm talking to you right now, that God has, through his blood, made you a hearer. Okay? So I understand the blood on the ears. It's righteousness, holiness through the blood of Jesus that gives you the right to hear God. Don't ever say you're not a hearer as a believer. Don't ever say you don't know the truth. Blood, through blood, you're a hearer now, okay? So I understand that. But do you know that I don't take that though? And most people, I can't take that. And this is just recent for me. The Lord's been showing me this. I can't take that though as God's voice to me though. I can't do it. You know why? It came to me in a parable, and that's not how God speaks to me. God doesn't speak to me like showing me something that I have to figure out. God just goes, pow, now you understand it. You didn't understand before? Oh, now you do. That's how God speaks to you. Because if God were speaking to me in a symbol, you know what I'd be saying? God gave me a right to know the truth, but he's withholding the truth from me. If God were speaking to us in symbols, you know what a symbol is? It's withholding the truth. If God were speaking to you in some vision of the night or something like that, and you saw the symbolic stuff all around you, and you think, that's the voice of God, I got to figure this out. You are not utilizing your rights in Jesus. God doesn't speak to you except in plain words. Understanding. 2 Corinthians says, light. That means revelation. That's a diss, really, to the Lord, to say that you're righteous, but God's speaking to you in a symbol. That's not just. You're righteous. You're qualified for truth, not for a symbol. Remember what I said before? To heathen people that were Jews, but not because they're Jews, but just because they didn't believe in Jesus. Heathen people, God gave them symbol after symbol after symbol under the law. And they obviously didn't understand. You're not supposed to understand based off that. But God can give a symbol to any old Joe, any person, because it's not the truth. They don't deserve the truth. Neither did we either before Jesus. And we do have a deserving advocate now. But God spoke to them in symbols. The whole law, the whole Old Testament is a symbol of Jesus. And God spoke to heathen people like that. God can give anyone a symbol. Because what is a symbol? It's withholding the truth. If you think that God speaks to in forms and symbols and weird coincidental circumstances, you're saying that God's withholding the truth from you. And that's a diss to the cross of Jesus. Why? Truth. Let me read this one more time before we move on. I will no longer speak to you in figurative language. Like, that should just go like this. Pow! To your mind. But I will speak to you plainly. There is no questions about that. I really don't believe. Once the Lord shows you something, like, wow. Like, that verse has been there all my life. I will speak to you plainly. Or I will tell you plainly. You know how God speaks to you? From his spirit into your inner man. How? Giving you knowledge, giving you revelation, giving you understanding. If you didn't get understanding, it's not because, oh, I had to figure it out, God speaking. No. Let me read to Joel. We said we're going to Joel, right? Only plainly, right? We have that in our head. Only plainly from his Holy Spirit. That's so awesome, right? Because you deserve, through the blood of Jesus, truth. And I don't use that word very often. But deserving, if you're, I'm not talking about your works. deserving. That's only through the blood, right? The righteousness that you have right now is deserving of truth. This is why Jesus could break all those seals. Nothing's going to hide truth from Jesus anymore when he's the holiness and righteousness of God. Nothing can. Nothing withholds truth anymore. God broke that barrier down. That sin barrier, he broke that down for you. You're not a sinner anymore. Okay? So what about dreams and visions then? What about that? How should you think about that then? Let's go to Joel real quick and go to Joel 2. And if I ever get here, Joel 2, verse 28. Joel 2, 28. I want to just show you this because I would hate anyone to leave here and think that dreams are demonic or something like that, okay? I mean, for someone in the world, I'm sure that happens. But for a Christian I'm talking about, there's so much I can say about that right now. Let's just talk about dreams, all right? Like, you have a dream, right? You have a dream, and you feel like this was a godly dream, right? You don't know what it means, let's say, but you just have a dream. You have a godly dream or a vision or something like that. Like, what do you think about that? Should you be worried about, like, oh, what does that mean to me? I've had dreams before. I've had the Lord do stuff before, and that was right around the time where I had to really seek the Lord and say, you know what, Lord? Because at the time, I was a little shaky at what I'm sharing with you right now. I had stuff happen, and I was like, Lord, is this you talking to me? And that's why it's important to know this, okay? Let's just skip right down to the middle here. Let's go from your sons. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. That should be enough right there. This is talking about when the Holy Spirit would be poured out on us. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. This is why it's not against the Lord's character for a woman to prophesy, okay? Now, I believe that there's definitely things in the Bible that are not to be ignored. But it says your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. God said that. Your daughters will prophesy. In Christ, it's not like men have some kind of ability from God that women don't, okay? Not because women power. No, because women were just as lost as anybody, okay? So it ain't no women power thing. So stupid. You gotta empower women. Let's just talk about Jesus and forget the whole, like, we're something awesome, right? Like, just like, let's please not do that. Or manpower. It just doesn't seem as prevalent. But anyway. Or black power, or this power. Let's just be who we are in Christ and, like, be content that Jesus did enough and we sucked and the Lord just, like, fixed it all, right? I mean, like, that would be so much better, right? Like, oh, man, that was horrible. Like, it was really bad, Jesus. And I'm just so grateful to you. Like, it's gone because you became it. You took it down to the grave with you. Pow! I would love someone to say that, right? Jesus power. Okay, so anyway, if someone says woman power, just be like, no, it's Jesus power with, like, a fist or something, right? It's like this glorified shining fist. Jesus power. All right. Anyhow. Okay. But so anyhow, how do we get on that? Because we're talking about women. Okay. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, right? If in case you guys are wondering about verses, though, the Bible says that Paul says, I don't let women speak in the church for this and that reason and whatever, but they have to be under submission. I believe that a woman should submit to her husband, okay? Not because the husband has any leg up on her. In Christ, that's not the point, but just the way that in here, I would hope that you don't disrespect the leaders that are in here. It's because they have more in Christ. I would hope, though, that you follow the God-ordained method of respecting the people that God has put over you to lead you and to help you in Christ, okay? I don't care if somebody's husband was not even saved or whatever. It still doesn't change a position, okay? That causes conflict automatically, but still, it doesn't change the fact, though, that God put a man to be the leader for his household, okay? If there's no leader, that's not a good thing. It's never a good thing. Just like you didn't respect the president or anything like that, it's a leadership position. It's not because they're more in Christ, all right? You don't have to say woman power. As I said downstairs, please don't get hung up on titles and things like that. Being ahead of your household doesn't make you a better dude or something. It just means that you're that leader of your household. It's a responsibility that God will work through you. That's all great. God can use you in an awesome capacity to be an awesome husband or for that matter, wife or child. But anyhow, the submission thing, you want more later, we can talk about that. But your daughters will prophesy, though. It's in Christ, right? We're no longer ourselves. We're who Jesus. But in your old men, thou shalt dream dreams, and your young men... Your young men shall see visions. That's a godly thing. That's not an ungodly thing. If you get a dream, don't be like, oh my gosh, like, honestly, some people think the devil's in them or something like that because they saw something or something happened. You know, I've had the Lord growl through me. I've had the Lord do stuff. And you know, it's awesome. I appreciate the fact that the Lord did this, like, while I was praying personally before he ever did it publicly. I've had the Lord growl through me. I've had the Lord do stuff that people be like, there's a demon in him, whatever, because they judge by appearance and not with righteousness, right? Another message, but, right? So we think something's godly or not based off the way it looks. But regardless, right? I had stuff like that before, and someone might mistake something. Oh, it's demonic or something like that. No, if you actually listen to the Holy Spirit here and let him reveal what's going on, you'd find out, wow, that's exactly what the Lord said in Scripture. Like, what a concept. But if we're not judging by appearance and all that, right? God will give you dreams, and maybe you look at it at first as a dream, and you're like, I don't understand what that means. I'm not saying every dream you have is from God. Please, please, okay? As you renew your mind, you're gonna see certain dreams, maybe leave, okay? So not every dream is from God. I'm not saying that at all. But if you know, if you feel like God, like, I feel like you were saying something in a dream, you have to understand, though, that there's a difference between God saying something in a dream, and this is very important. God can say something in a dream, but is God trying to speak that to you? And you may not see a difference in that right now. And here's the deal, okay? If you have a dream, it's not ungodly. God can certainly be saying something in a dream. But if he gives you a dream, it is only ever at best, to confirm the word of God that he's already given you understanding of. Or maybe in the future will give you something understanding. You have a confirmation through a dream, a confirmation through a vision, but please don't see that that's the voice of God. He's speaking, trying to get something across to you. If you don't understand a dream, it doesn't matter right now. Listen to Jesus just as you always would. It doesn't, should not change your, that's a good way to say it. It should not change your mentality because you have a vision or a dream. It should only ever confirm your mentality or something God will show you straight from his spirit into your inner man. Okay? There's a difference between the way God speaks to you and the things that God will just speak. And like I said, you may not see that totally right now, but that is the best way, honestly, I have to word it, at least just for right now. Because visions and dreams are not ungodly, just the same way that healings are not ungodly, just the same way that working of miracles is not ungodly. All those things can be very godly. God can meet needs, but God is not trying to speak to you through these things. If he does a sign or a wonder even, many times he will do a sign and he will perform something visually, but you cannot allow that to be the dictate to your mentality. Let it speak to you. Let it change the way that you, that's not what it's for. It's to confirm an understanding that God is either working in you or is going to work in you. And that difference is very, I want to bring you one verse, okay? Just this will wrap everything up, and I promise you this will be the last verse. 2 Peter, this will be the last verse. Because I want to show you, though, that this is true. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. Okay, so we got this, right? Visions, dreams, God can certainly have a sign performed, a vision given. Any of those things are totally, there's nothing wrong with it if it's from God, right? If it's from God. But you know what it does to you? You know what, like, as I said before, it makes you like this. It makes you like this. I can have a dream that looks obscure and looks almost like, ooh, that doesn't look good. But you don't have to bend with that and allow that to change your mentality. God will never give you a dream to renew your mind. He will never give you a dream except to confirm understanding that he's giving you. He will never, you see though, you may remain like this. I've had dreams before that most people would be like this over. Whoop. I mean, people would go nuts over, and I don't mean even in a good way. People would totally bend and lean. I've had dreams before. I've seen things before. I'm telling you what. Can I give you an example? Okay? And I will show you that these things are only done by for confirmation's sake at best through this verse. But I've had things in my life. Check this out. Imagine you're in my position, right? And you didn't know how God speaks to you. I've had things happen in my life where I saw visibly all the time, like almost every day, all the time, things about heads getting chopped off. Just stay with me the whole way, right? Don't judge by appearance just yet. When I get to the end, you'll be like, oh, I shouldn't have jumped to conclusions. Heads, like guillotines and stuff, right? And I saw it circumstantially. And if it happens once, maybe someone's like, you know, whatever. But you could tell something was up, right? This kept happening over and over and over again. I mean, it just in weird ways. Like I would be in a position, like downstairs, I was fixing the crib, and it has this slider thing. And the slider thing on this crib went all the way down to the floor, and I had to pick it up, and I put my head under it because I was fixing it. Then someone tells me after I've been seeing all this, oh, it looks like a guillotine, and I have my head under it and all this stuff, right? Now, you may think, though, that like I'm joking or something like that, but do you know most people would take that as a word of prophecy to them or think something bad's going to happen to me? I'm not playing with it. The people will think that something bad must be happening to me. It must be a sign. And it was a sign, but they don't know where to hear the voice of God. You know, come to find out, God was showing me about circumcision of the heart. But check this out. That is a sign. That's not how God talks to me. Otherwise, we don't have truth really then. Jesus is lying when he says I'm the truth then. He must have said I'm the symbol then. That is only to confirm, and at that point, God hadn't even shown me about circumcision of the heart yet. Later on, he did. But you need to be a person who listens to God, not listens to signs. You remain like this then. Ephesians 4 would call it, not being tossed to and fro by every single wind of wrong doctrine. You remain inflexible then and secure. Did I have to even know at the time what that meant? No. You know why? Because that's not how God talks to me. People say, but it is God. But it's not how God talks to me. That's how God confirms things. Two different things. Let's read very quickly. Very, very quickly. And I'll let you go. This is talking about a moment, and I've read this before, so I'm going to bring you quick up to speed. Peter is talking about a time where Peter saw some crazy signs. Crazy signs. More than many of you in here have ever seen. He saw the flesh of Jesus, because he was walked and talked with the flesh of Jesus, right? That doesn't give him a leg up, but still, he walked and talked with the flesh of Jesus. Jesus started glowing, shining so bright. His skin started shining so bright. His face was shining so bright. It was like, it was brighter than the sun. Can you imagine someone's face just go brighter than the sun? He saw that. His garments, his clothes started becoming exceedingly white. It says more white than you could ever wash. Like, not that kind of white. Brilliantly white. Moses and Elijah come from heaven, start talking with Jesus. They're standing there seeing this. A big cloud comes down out of heaven, swallows up the three disciples, and God speaks to them audibly through this cloud. And now, check this out. Not a dark cloud, like clouds normally block light. A bright cloud. Imagine seeing a shining bright cloud envelop you, and you're in this cloud. Now, while you're in a cloud, after you just saw Moses, Elijah, and Jesus chatting over there, and you're on this mountain with Jesus, and God says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Woof! And it all disappears just like that. He saw that with his eyes. Most people would do this. And for those in the recording, I'll explain this in a second. Whoop! And they would yield to it because it's so supernatural. Was that godly or was it ungodly? Was it demonic? That demonic miracle. Because people will say that miracles are demonic. Or speaking another language is demonic. Like, God doesn't know any language, right? God knows a lot of languages, right? I mean, you be the judge of how many languages you think God knows, right? But he knows quite a few. If angels speak a language, he's aware of it. If men speak a language, he's aware of it. And just because someone speaks in another language, we call it tongues. It's not called tongues, but we call it tongues. Speaking in tongues. It's speaking in other tongues. In other words, speaking another language. And when some, that people, that's all the devil. It's demonic. It's crazy. Was that demonic, that whole thing that happened? That was miraculous, if you could say something was miraculous. Did they hear an audible voice from God? Did they hear an audible voice from God to their physical ears? Absolutely. You see what's going on here, right? They didn't just see something with their eyes. Visibly, they saw with their eyes. They heard with their ears. All their senses were amused at one shot. And this is what he's talking about. He's talking about that Jesus received from God the Father honor and glory with such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He's recounting that day. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on that holy mountain. Verse 19. No, can we just scroll all the way up to verse 19 so we can see it? Check this out. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. Pause. Know what he means by prophetic word? He's talking about the Old Testament. He's talking about Scripture. He's like, and all this happened. We heard this voice. We saw these signs. We experienced it. He goes, and so, you know what this means to us? After all that, did this change the life of Peter? People would leave that, my life has changed forever. No, actually, your life's not going to be changed only in accordance with what your mind's being changed anyway. But no, signs are going to change your life forever. Seeing a human is not going to change. You might feel like it because your senses are so amused all at one time. But check this out. He's like, you know what this means to Peter when all that happens? So this is what it means. We have Scripture confirmed. Boop, that's it. You see how light that is? But watch as he goes. Which, that word which, he's talking about the prophetic word. We have the prophetic word confirmed. Which, that prophetic word you do well to take heed to as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Basically, here's what he's saying, is that the Holy Spirit is going to show you things from Scripture. That's how God is going to teach you. God is going to show you things that are scriptural. If any sign comes, this is what Peter said. We've had the Holy Spirit witness to us the prophetic word. And because this sign happened, this is the only thing it means to us. We now have what the Holy Spirit witnessed to us about the prophetic word confirmed now. It's a confirmation to what we already know from Jesus. I don't know it because Jesus, because God spoke to me with an audible voice. I've seen a video before where someone was wowed at God speaks to so-and-so in an audible voice. No, he doesn't. He speaks to you plainly in your inner man. God can confirm with an audible voice. But that is not where your heed needs to be. He just got done talking about this whole thing. And where did he say to put our heed to? Put your heed to what Scripture says as a light that shines in a dark place. He's talking here. He's not discounting listening to Jesus here. The prophetic word, that's what God's going to teach you. God will show you things about Scripture. And he says, after all that God's shown us about Scripture, we already know that he's the Son of God, that God's well pleased in. We already know that because God showed it to me. I already know that he's the beloved Son of God, and I already know that I should hear him. I don't need to try to find out outside of me when I have revelation and truth living in me. You have a right as a believer to know truth plainly. Therefore, God will never try to give you a symbol. Otherwise, he's withholding the truth from you. Plain? Good? Cool. We're done. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, so much for speaking to us plainly, Lord. You will make things manifest to our hearts that we don't have to worry about where your voice is coming from in all these different directions. Father, we know your voice. We know how you speak to us because we are yours, Lord, now. We've been given the right through Jesus to have everything that he has. And part of that is truth. Thank you, Father. We've been given the right with Jesus to be a child of God with Jesus. Firstborn among many brethren. That's what Jesus is. And Father, I pray that we would confirm, Lord, in our hearts today. Father, I pray that this would be a confirmation in our hearts today. Who you are, Lord. Who we are in you. The rights and privileges that we have as children of God. We need to know those things. Thank you, Father, for showing us these things. Father, I pray that you made it manifest in the hearts of the people today, Father. Father, I pray that you continue to manifest in the hearts of people so that they are secure and they're not tossed to and fro by things that are not the voice of God to them. Amen. Amen.